Glory to God. I welcome our listeners to the Gospel for the Glory of Jesus on radio station KRAJ 100.9 FM in the beautiful Antelope Valley. I'm excited again to be on this Gospel Word program sponsored and directed by Brother Melvin Slade from 7 to 9 a.m. on God's Day, Sunday. Today I want to bring a word from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. And it says, In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each had six wings. With twine he covered his face, and with twine he covered his feet, and with twine he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, saying, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the thongs from off the altar. He laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Glory to God. Responding to a divine experience. Responding to a divine experience. Life is full of experiences, all sorts of experiences. There are positive and negative experiences. There are things that have happened in our lives that we can't remember. On the other hand, however, there are experiences we have had that had a profound effect on our lives, even to the extent of determining the type of persons we are today. For the most part, those experiences are readily recalled. In the text that I read before us, we will visit the prophet Isaiah and hear him recall a profound experience he had with the creator of the universe. For something to be profound means that it goes beyond what is normal. Its effect is deeper than what is superficial or even obvious. Profundity has depth. It looks deep into issues and matters. Profound statements are such because they tackle issues or meanings that are beyond the surface. I think there is a profoundness that can hinder us as well as one that can be of the utmost advantage. The hindering profundity occurs when we attempt to understand deeper than our ability to comprehend. It is the kind of human depth that produces pride and arrogance. Isaiah was like most of the prophets. He preached a twofold message. He warned the people of the judgment of sin. Then he gave the comfort of salvation and righteous living. And as I say all the time, preach apostle. His name, Isaiah, means the Lord is salvation. That is, the Lord is the source of salvation. In Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet recounts how he was called by God to the ministry of prophecy. It is within this recounting that we will share with the prophet a profound spiritual experience. Isaiah 6 will share with us and spiritual experience that a profound experience Isaiah had for himself. When we look at a profound experience, number one, we will recall when it was. It is profound because of its transforming effect. It is profound because it challenges us. It is profound because it's dependent on our willingness to accept the challenge. Now, a spiritual experience is profound when we can recall it. Remember, the Bible said that it was, hey, glory to God, in the year Uzziah died. That's what Isaiah said. He said, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. You got to understand, the prophet of God is now sharing with us his profound spiritual experience. One reason I consider this experience profound is because Isaiah can recall it. I believe when we have had a profound encounter with the Lord, we will remember it. Hallelujah. The prophet of God says it was on the year that King Uzziah passed away that he experienced a profound experience with the Lord. I believe whenever the Lord gives us a spiritual experience, such as Isaiah shares, it's for a greater purpose than momentary revelation. God is calling us into a larger arena of service. What God is about to show the prophet Isaiah will have far-reaching results. Most of Isaiah's public ministry took place during the reign of Uzziah, Jotham, and Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. In his recollection of his profound spiritual experience, he recalls that it happened the year King Uzziah of Judah died. History recalls that during the early reign of Uzziah, he was a successful king. Israel prospered under his leadership, but something happened at the close of his reign. I believe the reign of Uzziah had a profound influence on Isaiah as a young man. That is why the vision of the Lord is recalled occurring during the year of Uzziah's demise. 740 BC, the year of Uzziah's death, marked for Isaiah a period in his life that is more significant than a mere date on the calendar. This is a year that for the first time in his life, the prophet experienced the majesty of God. The condition of Israel was that though they kept up the outward form and ceremony of the temple worship, all manner of sins were being committed by the people. Sins of idolatry, covetousness, impurity, injustice, and oppression. That is the backdrop that leads the Holy One of Israel to bring forth a vision that will produce another wilderness voice. As John the Baptist would later cry out in the spiritual wilderness of his day, God now uses the voice of Isaiah to cry out against all of these sins. In recalling, hallelujah, this event surrounding his profound spiritual experience, Isaiah realizes that it was the year that King Uzziah died. In other words, good King Uzziah is dead, and things are really going to get bad now. Israel will be taken captive. Prosperity will cease. A depression will come, and famine will follow. With all of this on his mind, Isaiah finds himself in the temple. The temple could have been literal or visionary, but he recalls the experience took place in the temple. Let's see what the prophet recalls about this temple experience. Number one, Isaiah, saw the Lord. The first profound thing about this vision, that which brought it from the ordinary and gave it the status of the profound, is that Isaiah saw the Lord. Moses wanted to see God face to face as one man will see another, but God knew he could not honor this request. The real issue is not what God looks like, but what it is, but what is the nature of God. It is the nature of God that will determine the interaction or my interaction with him. Did you hear me? It is the nature of God that will determine my interaction with God. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. The Lord whom Isaiah saw in the Hebrew is called Adonai, the God who is able to carry out his promise. He was seated, Isaiah said, when I saw the Lord God Adonai. He was seated on a throne. We have to understand God is both king and judge. He is ready to exercise his kingly prerogatives of pronouncing judgment upon the people in whose midst he had appeared. God belongs on the throne. He is the ruler of heaven and earth. So Isaiah saw God where God belongs, upon the throne. God should be on the throne in all of our lives. It should be God and only God who resides in the temple of our hearts. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord sitting on a high, on a throne, high, lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. God is seen as king. God is high and exalted because his position before all nations is high and exalted. The Lord's robe speaks of his royalty and majesty. the long, loose, flowing robes or skirts of the robe were filling the palace, so that there was no room left for anyone to stand. This is a scene of glorious majesty. So there is no room in our lives for anything else. Our temple should be filled with the majesty and glory of the Lord. No wonder Jack Hayford could write the magnificent song of praise, "Worship His Majesty." Isaiah recalls that in the temple, he saw God's divine retinue. The heavenly attendants are described as seraphim, or burning ones. The seraphims are personal spiritual beings, for they have faces, feet, and hands. They even employ human speech and understand moral concept. The seraphims are simply those creatures that are standing about in the throne in his vision. And Isaiah recognized them as the Lord's attendants. The seraphims are standing above the throne, not because they are superior than the heavenly Father. No, they are there simply because their task is to wait upon the Lord. Each seraph had six wings. They used two to fly, two to cover their feet, and two to cover their faces. The seraphim flew about the throne on which God was seated, singing his praises as they called special attention to his glory and majesty. What is it with the covering of these various angelic body parts? I believe this was a sign of reverence and awe before the Holy Lord. Each seraph covered his face with two of his wings. The sight of God wrought humility to the beholder. And the covering of the face would preclude an irreverent glance at the Lord. The glory of the Lord is so great, just as we cannot look directly at the sun because of his brightness, I believe God sitting on his throne with all his glory is so bright and intense that one couldn't look directly at his presence. Hallelujah. Not only did the seraphim cover their face, but Isaiah recalls in his profound spiritual experience that they also covered their feet. This, I believe, was done to express unworthiness and humility. And with two wings, they flew in order to carry out the will and orders of the Lord. It appeared from Isaiah's profound spiritual experience that the seraphim had two responsibilities as part of their throne occupation. The first was to attend to the needs of the Lord and respond to his instruction. The second was the unbroken task of chanting his praises. Their continuous occupation was the blessed work of praising God. Isaiah 6:3 said, "And one carried to the, and one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory.'" What they cried, Kadosh in Hebrew, signifies the entirety of the divine perfection which separates God from his creation. He is the Lord, not man. The one upon the throne is God, who exists distinct from and in complete independence from those whom he has created and from all his creation. In their song of praise, the seraphim set forth what was a distinguished characteristic of God, his holiness. The seraphims were praising the very essence of God. Our greatest service to God is found in praising His name. To praise His name involves more than a mere repetition of the word Kadosh, holy. Praise includes deep meditation upon God and His attributes and the living of life of humility in accordance with the precept laid down in His word. Praise is, in other words, the life of faith in Jesus Christ. Live for the glory of God. That's what this gospel show is about. It's the gospel for the glory of Jesus. I know my time is short, but just let me tell you, when you have a profound experience with God, praise Him, worship Him, give Him glory, because I declare the God we serve, He is worthy of our glory. He is worthy of our praise. He's a God of peace. He's a God of understanding. He is a God of perfection. He is a holy God. There is none that you can compare Him to. All I can say to you today is glory be to the name of God, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is Lord, I tell you. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead. And the God we serve, He is Lord. And the Bible declared that since He is Lord, every knee must bow. Hallelujah. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah to His name. And if you don't know Jesus, I invite you, hallelujah, to find Him for yourself, because He will save you from the gutter. He'll pick you up. Hey, glory to God. He'll turn you around and He'll set your feet on glory, hallelujah, ground. So I invite you, hallelujah, to come worship with us and find out who this Lord is that went to the grave for us and died for us. And He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. To the glory of God the Father, He is Lord. Amen. Certainly, I invite you to come and worship with us. I sort of got a little caught up in spirit today, but I invite you to come and worship with us at the Calvary Baptist Church of Pacoima, 12928 Vaughn Street, San Fernando, California, where my wife and I serve as pastor and the senior pastor. My wife is pastor. We look forward to seeing you come and get to know this Lord. Come and worship this Lord. Come and work for this Lord, who is King. Amen.